I'm Leonard Lopate. Welcome back to my show. Recently, President Bush released a document announcing that if faced with a threat of pandemic flu, the U.S. government will forcibly quarantine large segments of the population into flu camps. A new book called The Colony offers a glimpse into the reality of such incarcerations. It's a history of the leprosy settlement on the Hawaiian island of Molokai, written by John Taman, the editorial creative director of Men's Health. The Colony is published by Scribner's Press, and it brings Mr. Taman to my show today. Hello.
Hello.
What prompted the creation of this leprosy colony in 1866?
1866. Actually, the law that they passed preceding the colony happened in 1865. At any rate, it's a level of panic, very much the same as we see right now with the very trickles of avian flu. It was an unknown disease. Nobody knew how to combat it. And because of the biblical stigmas, it produced violent reactions from people.
Well, who passed this law? Hawaii was not part of the United States at that point.
No, it was a constitutional monarchy at that point, and it was passed by the king, and he was operating under advisement of a number of white advisors, including a doctor who was head of the only hospital there.
And it criminalized leprosy?
It did. It declared war on the people who had the disease rather than on the disease itself.
So that began 130 years of this colony. 8,000 people taken from their homes, in some cases by bounty hunters, others by Board of Health agents, and exiled to Molokai. Were these all from Hawaii?
No, not all of them. Eventually, the residents of the colony included people from almost every country, America, Great Britain, China, the Philippines. And it's exactly as you just said. The law passed, and government agents went out and went into homes and schools and businesses. And if they suspected that you had this disease, you were rounded up, brought to Honolulu, diagnosed, and the diagnoses were very shoddy at that point, and then shipped across the ocean to the colony.
So I'm assuming a fair number of people didn't have leprosy.
A large number of them didn't have it. It's the equivalent of today if your audience, a number of people in your audience broke out in hives, and we didn't happen to know what hives were, and they were rounded up and sent off to Shelter Island.
Well, why this panic in the first place? Was Hawaii particularly vulnerable to leprosy?
Well, it wasn't particularly vulnerable, but it had suffered a number of epidemics because it had been untouched for a long time. And then when first contact from Europe arrived, they brought a variety of diseases, smallpox, cholera. And so the monarchy was very attuned to the fact that the population was declining and panicked when leprosy began to rise.
But leprosy isn't really contagious, is it?
Leprosy is hardly contagious at all. Contrary to myth, it's one of the least communicable diseases known to man.
So how is this happening?
Well,
were
this
there
is
people who had some kind of genetic susceptibility?
There is. Hawaiians turned out in the end to have a genetic susceptibility to it. Most, 95% of the population has that. They are immune to it, genetically immune to the disease, and 5% could possibly get the disease.
So 5% is pretty high.
5%, yeah, it is. It just so happened that the Hawaiians happened to be one of those races that had a high level of susceptibility.
Well, why Molokai? Molokai is pretty close to Oahu, the island that was the capital of the Hawaiian Islands. Why not one of the farther-flung islands?
Well, there is a shelf of land 2 miles by 2 miles that emerges from the highest sea cliffs in the world on the northern coast of Molokai. And it was on this shelf of land that they decided, here is a natural prison. If we drop people there, they can't get out.
So they just dropped them on the beach?
In some cases, they pitched them over the sides of boats. And there is no beach there, per se. It's just a rocky shore of volcanic rock.
What did they have to live in when they first arrived in the early days?
The first group of 12 exiles landed 140 years ago last week, as it happens, and they had very little. They had no shelter, no water, very little food, and the government assumed that they would be able to farm and grow potatoes and other crops to sustain themselves.
What about medical aid?
In the beginning, they had very little medical aid. Eventually, it got better. In the 1920s, it became quite good, and through the remainder of that period until isolation was ended.
Wasn't there a case or two of medical experimentation?
There were a few cases.
At the colony?
Very grisly, as it happened. The most notorious involved a prisoner who a German physician convinced the government to give over to him for experimentation, and he inoculated the prisoner with the bacteria that causes the disease.
Sounds like a Dr. Mengele
kind of situation. The Island of Dr. Moreau kind of thing as well.
So what was the mortality rate like? Were these people just left to die?
They were, and in the early days it was as high as 40%.
And weren't families separated?
Yeah, families were torn apart all of the time. About more than 8,000 people ended up being sent over there, and of that, one-third were women. There were men, women, children as young as one, men as old as 90. And once they determined or they thought you had the disease, you were taken from your family and sent away.
Mm. Were they allowed visitors?
You know, in the beginning they were not, but eventually they did allow supervised visitation that prevented anybody from coming into physical contact. Now, bear in mind, this is even if the person did not have the disease, and a significant number did not.
Well, as it develops, it disfigures people. Wouldn't it be apparent that some people didn't have it?
Well, you know, leprosy it turns out to be one of those very clever diseases in that the symptoms mimic a lot of other symptoms. And so people who, as I mentioned before, hives or psoriasis or sunburn, were mistakenly thought to have leprosy. There is a person that I write about in the book who lost his toe in a farming accident. A hog bit it off. And when the physicians saw him, they assumed he had leprosy, and they sent him away.
My guest is John Taman, former deputy editor of Outside Magazine. He has served as executive editor of New England Monthly, the editorial director of Rocky Mountain Magazine, editor at large at Men's Journal, and a contributing editor to Men's Health, Life, GQ, People, and also Business 2.0. He's written a book called The Colony, The Harrowing True Story of the Exiles of Molokai. It is published by Scribner. So Hawaii became actually famous for this leprosy colony. The New York Times even wrote sea leprosy underneath their listing for Hawaiian Islands.
It did. For a time, it was probably the most famous small community in the world, and it was on the front page of every worldwide newspaper.
How did the people who were residents of Hawaii regard the colony?
It depended. The business community tended to try and ignore it, to turn their back and pretend it didn't exist because they thought it would destroy the tourism trade. The native Hawaiians, of course, had a much more embracing attitude towards it, and they had relatives or neighbors or people that they knew who were swept up in this government net.
Did things change when Hawaii was annexed by the United States in 1898?
You know, they did, but not the way that you might think. You would think that the benighted Americans would come in and see the folly of all of this and take the place down.
You would?
Well, I guess maybe I did before I started reading about it. But what they did, in fact, was decide, well, this would be a great location for the national leprosy colony. And any number of congressmen and politicians began to agitate to start sending anybody that was found on the mainland to Hawaii. And it was an impulse, strangely, that's continued well into the 1980s when the AIDS epidemic hit. Again, it was debated in Congress to turn this colony into the AIDS colony.
Even though it had been discontinued in, what was it, 1969?
1969, the summer that we landed on the moon was the summer that they finally decided to end the isolation policy. Now,
was that a decision by the Nixon administration?
No, it was actually a combination of a local decision and a government decision. But the people who were living there, the majority of them decided to stay. And indeed, 27 residents remain. They've been there for most of their lives, 50, 60, 70 years.
And what were conditions like for them then?
Actually, by the 1960s and 1970s, in one of the great ironies of the book, it turned into a spectacularly beautiful, desirable place. Think about it. All the rampant development that went on everywhere in Hawaii is prevented from happening in the colony. Nobody could get to it. You weren't allowed in it. So it literally is the last unspoiled place in the islands.
Although famous people like to visit. We had Robert Louis Stevenson, Jack London. They received passes to visit. Inhabitants told Jack London that they wanted to be better represented by the press, and so he wrote about them.
Yeah. Actually, London was that was part of what might be called one of the first press junkets in Hawaiian history. The Board of Health arranged for London to tour the colony, thinking that he might be able to dispel a lot of the myths that attached to the place.
So he said he'd rather live on the leper colony than in the Lower East Side of New York City, which may have been a reflection of his anti-Semitism. But then later he turned around and wrote about how grotesque the inhabitants were in a different piece.
Well, he did. He made this deal with the Board of Health that he would portray the colony and its people sympathetically in his nonfiction account, which he did. It's very honest and moving and touching. But then Jack London, being, you know, a great fictionalist as well, took a lot of what he saw and learned and really exploited the disease and its effects for some of his short stories. And they're powerful and arresting short stories, but the Board of Health were very upset about the pieces when they came out.
Celebrities like John Wayne and Shirley Temple also went there.
They did, and your earlier guests, Edgar Bergen, Paul Robeson, they all visited. It became a cause célèbre for some people, but then for a lot of writers and other people who meant to do well, it had a tremendous draw, and it still does. The board gets more applications to come visit than they can handle. 100 people a day is the maximum that are allowed into the place now.
Well, a priest from Belgium went there, and he was infected, so I guess he must have had a susceptibility.
He did. Your readers, or your listeners who are Catholic, will probably know the name Father Damien. And he became famous, worldwide famous again, for volunteering to serve in the colony. And he did come down with the disease. I mentioned before genetic susceptibility. The French also have that susceptibility, a little bit higher than some other races. And Damien happened to have it.
Then there was a nun, Mother Marianne, who was recently beatified.
Yes, she's from this area, as a matter of fact, and she arrived toward the tail end of Damien's tenure in the colony and spent her entire life there and passed away. And she and Damien are both scheduled to be made saints by the Catholic Church.
Did the people in Molokai still resist the flood of tourism that the other islands experience?
You know, Molokai, there's what's called topside Molokai, and it is the main island itself. And then there is the Kalapapa Peninsula, which is where the colony itself was on. Topside Molokai is one of the least populated Hawaiian islands. There's only about 8,000 people on it. And it is a little bit anti-tourist, to tell you the truth.
What about quarantining people who are ill? I mentioned President Bush's proposal. He came up with that after reading The Great Influenza, later released the National Strategy for Pandemic Influenza. There have been any number of other quarantines, including Cuba, where they quarantine people who are HIV/AIDS positive.
Yeah. Well, there's the main theory about that is that it, in many cases, it does little more than drive the disease underground, make it harder to contain, and throw a stigma on the people that actually have the disease. So it's counterproductive in almost every case.
Well, quarantine has also been enforced in a manner that could be called racist. After a Chinese neighborhood in San Francisco was struck with plague, President McKinley ordered all Chinese and Japanese residents to be quarantined.
Sure.
Does that send up a red flag?
Well, you know, that happened in the early days of the colony as well. The Hawaiian population was the main focus of the first sweeps. And although the population came to include, as I said before, people from America and white Europeans and Asians, the principal focus was on Hawaiians.
In New York, didn't we have a tuberculosis quarantine on an island?
Yeah, actually, at various times, Governor's Island, Bedloe Island back in the early days, a couple of other islands were used as dumping off points for people with cholera, smallpox.
So how do you think we should handle a pandemic?
You know, we should learn as much about the disease that's coming as possible and take sensible approaches to it. for avian flu. I don't know that anybody knows quite enough yet, although we can sort of stock up on Tamiflu and get our hand sanitizers. And most importantly, if it does reach the United States, make sure that we declare war on the disease itself and not on the victims of that disease.
Wasn't there also a leper colony in Louisiana?
There was a treatment center in Louisiana, and it still exists in a small way. It was never an incarceration center in the way that Molokai was.
And now it's called Hansen's disease, isn't it?
Hansen's disease is the alternate medical term for leprosy. It was named after the man who discovered the germ.
Is it still a problem in certain parts of the world?
You know, not only in certain parts of the world, sometimes it's a problem here in the United States. In the U.S., leprosy is more prevalent than measles. There are, in the New York region, there's about 2,000 people who have had or currently have the disease.
How is it treated now?
There's a multi-drug protocol that people go on as soon as they're diagnosed, and it quickly renders it non-communicable within a day or so, and it stops any potential disfigurement.
Mm-hmm. So it doesn't cure it, but it halts its
It arrests it, yes. It takes away all of the horrific elements of the disease.
John Taman's book is The Colony, The Harrowing True Story of the Exiles of Molokai. It is published by Scribner. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me on.